Okay, so for our second to last talk, we're going to have Derek Hunt talking about relay cropping practices that improve the performance of Italian ryegrass as a cover crop after silage corn.
Okay, thank you. My talk is about relay cropping practices in South Coastal BC. We've been relay cropping for probably 25 years in BC. Just a bit of background, we're on a silt loam soil, southwest BC, high winter rains and moderate air temperatures, and it's under intensive dairy production systems where about 50% of the feed is homegrown and the rest of it is concentrates that are imported. And the feed system is mostly grass and corn silage that is grown on farm. So the overall objectives of this project is to improve the nutrient balances in the lower Fraser Valley of BC. And winter cover crops have been used traditionally planted after corn, and they can improve the quantity and the quality of homegrown feeds, which reduces feed imports and possibly reduce nutrient losses. And also the winter cover crops can have multiple benefits for soil. But establishing the winter cover crops into juvenile corn can give you a head start on that winter cover crop and can improve the fall end recovery and the spring yield, which would be used for feed in this case. So just a quick kind of, I didn't put too many photos here, but typically the system that's been going on for about 25 years is corn planted anywhere from late April to mid-May in a normal year. The Italian ryegrass, this is Lolium multiflorum, is drilled into the corn between the rows when the corn is at the six-leaf growth stage. Anywhere from May 30th to June 17th is typical. And in August, that picture on the top right shows the relay crop. The Italian ryegrass has got a little bit bigger here. Corn is harvested usually mid-September to early October. And this is a shot of a farm in November where that relay crop has picked up really well after the corn is harvested. It'll often be flattened down by the tractors when harvesting, but it picks up nicely. And then that crop is then fed in the next following spring, usually in late April. So the specific objectives of this trial is to test the effect of the host crop on the Italian ryegrass and also to test the effect of the Italian ryegrass on the corn. So the first one, we looked at the effect of the relay crop on corn and also corn population density on the establishment and growth of the Italian ryegrass and the effect of the corn harvest date on the Italian ryegrass. The experiment, some of the early data here I'm reporting is what we did from several years ago, 25 years ago, 93 to 95. We have 3x4 factorial, 3 corn populations, 55, 65, and that should be 75,000 plants per hectare. The Italian ryegrass is planted at 3 different stages of the corn, at the 3-leaf, 6-leaf, and 9-leaf stage, and there's a control with no Italian ryegrass. And we had additional 6-leaf planting, but with an early corn harvest. So the corn harvest was taken off earlier than the mid-September. And we planted fall rye and Italian ryegrass after corn as a fall cover crop comparison. We had 2 locations per year for 3 years, so six-year locations. One location was no manure, and the other location had historically received manure. So some of the results, all these tables are 6 trial years. The relay crop had no significant effect on the corn yield. And earlier planting at the 3-leaf stage did reduce it slightly, 0.3 to 0.4 tons of dry matter, but it wasn't significant. And there was no effect of the relay crop on grain percentage, crop moisture, N content, or N uptake. And I haven't shown that data. The planting the corn at the lower population of 55,000 plants per hectare did reduce the yield by about 1.3 tons. Yeah. So that's this down in the bottom left here. So the effect of the corn on the relay crop, what was that effect? So the relay crop biomass varied from about 0.34 under the high corn population and the late planting stage, up to a high of about 1.3 tons of dry matter under the low corn population and the earlier planting stage. And in terms of N uptake, this is the relay crop measured at corn harvest. It varied from 10 to 38 kilos per hectare. So the mouse takes a while to come up here. So there's the 0.34 under 75 nine leaf up to 1.25 tons here, and then the end uptake of that crop from 10 up to 38 kilos here. And there was a significant difference of the corn population on the relay crop and a significant difference between planting stage. So the important thing for us is to try and capture as much of the nitrogen as possible. If we're going to capture it, we have to really get it by November, because we have high rains in October, November, December, and then it's basically gone. By December, any residual nitrate that's in the soil has been flushed out of the system. So this November sampling is set to, we took it to see how much of that nitrogen that was residual in the soil did we capture. So by November, the yield has increased slightly from the corn harvest time of the relay crop, from 0.67 up to 1.4. And the end uptake is at a low of 19 up to 40. And again, it's a significant effect of population across here. And the effect of the planting date of the relay is really disappeared here between the three-leaf and six-leaf. But the nine-leaf planting stage is lower for both yield and for end uptake. Going all the way back, going around into the spring, so this is where we would be using this as a potential feed crop. The biomass varied from 0.77 to 1.2 about, it's 0.77 here up to 0.19. The planting stage of the relay crop is no longer significant, and there is still a slight effect of the population of the corn on that. And uptake has varied from 13 up to 20. And these yields are all actually lower, and the end uptake is lower on average than what we measured in November, and that's due to winter damage that we saw in the Italian ryegrass through the winter. But what the farmer would be interested in, they would be fertilizing this crop in early March, because they want to get yield on there as well as protein content. So we did a fertilized, we fertilized at 50N in early March, and it doubled the yield from the previous table from 0.8 to 1.2, and it doubled it up to 1.7 to 2.4, and it approximately tripled the N uptake, which was previously unfertilized 13 to 20 kilos up to 48 to 65 kilos. There's no significance really from the planting stage of the Italian in the previous year. There is a little bit of an effect from the population still going on of the previous year. So if I look at the early treatment versus the early corn harvest versus late corn harvest, by November, the early corn harvest, which was taken off 7 to 18 days earlier, increased the yield of the Italian ryegrass by about 0.8 tons and increased the uptake of N by about 25 kilos per hectare. So that's these yields here. So across these two, the Italian crop, corn harvested early or late, and it's planted six leaf, and those are the effects on the yield, and this is the effects on that, on the in uptake. But one thing of interest is, how does that compare to fall seeded cover crops? So the common fall seeded cover crops are fall rye, winter wheat, and Italian ryegrass. So this just shows a picture of the Italian ryegrass was really crop seeded in back in June at the six leaf stage, it's on the left, and the corn harvested October 4th, and then the next day the fall cover crop was seeded, and this is the visual comparison of how much crop we have here on the left versus, you can barely see the fall rye plant here coming up. So that's what we're looking at. So if we can capture it by November, we can retain that end in the crop before it's lost from the system in the heavy winter rains. So then this is the same table again repeated, but if you compare that against the fall rye and the Italian ryegrass fall seeded here, we're only getting about 0.2 to 0.3 tons and only 6 to 9 kilos of N uptake. So we got significantly higher N uptake from the relay crop. And then if we follow that round to the spring again, with the additional fertilizer and the 50 kilos in March, we're getting about 1 to 1.5 ton higher dry matter from fall seeded Italian ryegrass, from relay crop seeded Italian ryegrass compared to the fall seeded Italian ryegrass and fall rye. And the end uptake varied from 11 to 13 kilos. We also did some feed quality analysis of ADF, NDF, and lignin. And the values are very similar between them. The fall rye has usually by the time it gets to head in, it doesn't really have very good quality at all for feed. And the farmers like Italian ryegrass or winter wheat in preference to fall rye. But at this stage, the fall rye was a very vegetative stage. This just shows a shot of something we're doing more recently. In the foreground is what would typically happen. Spring end would be applied to the corn, really crop planted at six-leaf stage, and the corn harvested. And it's way greener in the foreground. And we've got some different end plots on the corn. And you can see the effect just visually in color of this plot at the back here with a zero-end control. And it's end-starved Italian ryegrass. And this is picking up some of the residual end from the that was left over after corn harvest. One thing when we were doing this work, we noticed that we had differences between varieties. We'd done an initial screening year where we looked at different brassicas, cereals, and grasses to see how they do as relay crops under corn. And the only two that actually really worked was the Italian ryegrass and red clover. This study actually had red clover. But when we looked at that, we thought we were seeing differences between the Italian ryegrass varieties. So we did a variety trial under corn, comparing the Westerwald's annual types versus the Italian ryegrass species, and that's the alternativum versus the non-alternativum. And we also looked at diploid versus tetraploid. And the first year we had 42 varieties under corn replicated four times, and the second 2 years we had 65 varieties. This just lists the varieties that we evaluated. And the variety that worked well for us was called Maris Ledger, and it turned out to be true Italian ryegrass tetraploid. And we found of these 42 to 65 Italian ryegrass varieties over the 3 years, the tetraploid biennial types were consistently better relay crops than the diploid biennials or the Westerwald annual types. The annual varieties tended to flower underneath the corn canopy, and then they died back. So when the corn was harvested, there was very little of these varieties left, whereas the biennial types, the true Italian ryegrasses, did not tend to head out, and there was more growth left under it. And we also hypothesized that the tetraploid biennials had greater tolerance to tetraploid biennials had greater tolerance than the diploids to the fusarium. In conclusions, the relay crops had no significant effect on corn yield. The relay crop biomass itself is affected both by the corn population, planting date, and then the harvest date of the corn. On the relay crop stand establishment, and biomass we found to be very significantly by the varieties of Italian ryegrass we were using. The relay crop produces better fall end recovery than a fall seeded cover crop, and this is important to us in September to December due to the high rainfalls we have and leaching events. And the relay crop can produce higher yields and then uptake than fall seeded cover crops by the time we come around to April to be important for feed. So it can improve feed production in the spring. And relay cropping with our system and Italian ryegrasses and corn can be used as a BMP to improve the quantity and quality of feed produced on dairy farms, reducing the fall nitrogen losses and improving the overall nutrient balance of the farms and reduce nutrient imports. So some of the new work we are looking at is relay cropping in conjunction with using early and later maturing corn varieties. So we can cut the corn early. We take a hit on the yield, but we can have better growth of the relay crop. Some of the farmers the last few years have some on-farm tests. They're getting relay crop yields anywhere from 5 to 7 tons of dry matter in the spring, which adds a significant amount to their total annual feed production. We're also looking at the significance of strategic irrigation on the relay crop, and we've tested out mixing different types of clovers with the relay crop. The clovers are very variable. They don't establish well, but if they can get established, they may add to some feed quality aspects in the spring. So this just shows irrigated versus non-irrigated. This is the effect of irrigation on the relay crop after the corn was harvested. So it tripled the yield of the relay crop under the corn. This is after about 10 weeks with no rain we had this past year. And of course, irrigation has a great benefit for the corn yield too, but it didn't improve the relay crop yield. And some of the the clovers we're looking at red clover, Basim, Balanza, and Crimson. And they do establish, some of them head out and die back, it's very variable, and the amount that does successfully get through into the corn, it can be very patchy within there, but it may add to feed quality in the spring. So thank you.
We'll have to hold questions until after the break, but we'll make our
figure. Can I go over? Oh, okay. Great.